Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wrong Bed, Right Alien by Liz Poffel. Narrated by Raven Hawkins. Chapter 1. Kimber.
Get in here now!
Kimber McCleady grimaced as Jim Carver bellowed from his office.
Yes, Mr. Carver?
So much for sneaking into the office unnoticed by the boss. Lesson learned. Don't ignore your car's check engine light for a week, hoping it will go away and magically fix itself. She knew better, of course, but there was so much to be done at the office that she couldn't take time off during the week without falling behind. The car had died in the middle of the Starbucks drive-thru as she'd attempted to get her daily order of one sugar-free oat milk latte for her boss and a double espresso shot for herself. Two nice teenagers helped push her car to the parking lot, and she'd run inside for the coffees while waiting for a rideshare to arrive. Her life had been snowballing into a downward spiral the past couple of months. Of course, her car would die and make her late to make it worse. She was probably getting fired. At least she'd kept Jim's latte warm by tucking it between the crook of her arm and her body. That had to count for something, right? Clutching her leather portfolio, purse, and jacket to her chest while holding the coffees in her other hand, Kimber tried not to drop anything as she entered the Cavern of Death, Jim's office. The level of hell one might experience inside depended on his wildly fluctuating mood. She'd been working at Earth magazine for 3 years, and she'd never been late until today, hadn't taken a sick day, and worked overtime without complaint. Any other boss might give her a pass this one time, considering her excellent job performance. But Jim was not a rational man. The fissure bisecting the fleshy skin between his eyes and the frown spearing the corners of his mouth to his chin suggested she wasn't making it out of here alive. Grinning sheepishly, she set down his coffee and slid it toward him.
Sugar-free oat milk latte. Extra foam. Your favorite.
He glowered and gripped the paper cup.
Sit down and let me get right to the point.
Sitting on the edge of a hard plastic chair, she balanced her things and waited for the axe to fall. Sipping his coffee, he pointed to an open manila folder on his desk with the tip of his antique fountain pen. A spray of ink dots flew from the tip and dotted the inside of the folder. Everyone in the office had at least one item of clothing sporting polka dots from Jim waving that damn pen around. A quick glance at the papers inside looked like an interview profile. Curious, but knowing better than to ask, she diverted from the folder and looked at her hands. Waiting. Waiting. Silence stretched to an uncomfortable level. Schooling the anxiety from her face, Kimber winced as her stomach churned. Yep, she was getting fired. It was coming. She could feel it. Her boyfriend dumped her 6 months ago. A day later, her credit card had been stolen. Her cat died. Her car was junk and she was about to be jobless. It was the McCleady curse. Thanks, Dad. Bad stuff had been happening to her for 15 years, thanks to him. Shifting in her seat, she silently willed Jim to get to that point he'd mentioned. Finally, he scowled and sat back in his chair.
I'm not sure what to think of you, McCleady.
Jim Carver was a brilliant man, but one who got lost in his train wreck of a brain. He never got right to the point of anything. Her armpits were damp with stress sweat, and her heart was drumming its way out of her chest. Considering he hadn't imploded yet, maybe she could divert disaster before it happened.
I apologize for my tardiness this morning, sir. I'm having a bit of car trouble, but I'll take the bus until I get it figured out. It won't happen again.
He gave a surprised jerk of his hands.
You were late.
Stay cool.
Isn't that why you called me in here? Movement outside the glass-paned office caught Kimber's attention as her coworker and friend, Dana, sauntered by, pretending not to look but doing a poor job of hiding it. Dana was the only other person in the magazine somewhat close to Kimber's age. Everyone else was 2 decades older, better educated, and more experienced. The fuel that drove her to try so hard and prove herself and snag a coveted reporter position. Jim's lips pulled tight. The curling end of his thin, salt-and-pepper ponytail poked over his shoulder. The gray hue of his white button-down suggested he didn't bother separating whites from the darks in the wash. He was probably wearing Birkenstocks with wool socks like normal, even though it was the middle of an Orlando summer. The red spots on his plump cheeks faded. Maybe his anger was, too.
"No, but thank you for your honesty. I'll mark the infraction on your record. Car? Bus? Isn't it time you get a bicycle and stop wrecking the ozone?"
"Yes, sir." Closing the file, he slid it across the desk toward her.
"Pell Kappa. You know who he is."
It wasn't a question, but he looked at her as if he expected an answer. She agreed. "Of course. He's the son of Merle Kappa, world-renowned explorer, treasure hunter, scientist, and philanthropist. Though he hasn't exactly followed in his father's footsteps." He's not anything like his father, she thought. He's lazy and living off his daddy's money. Ha! If only I had that problem. I'm still paying for my father's insanity.
He's starting a clean air initiative in his father's name.
Jim leaned forward.
He's chosen Earth to hold the first interview. We are the leading media resource for groundbreaking environmental science. Therefore, this interview must be exact, informative, and flawless. Screw this up and you'll be writing resumes at the homeless shelter. Which isn't a bad thing, but likely not what you're aspiring for yourself after racking up $100,000 for your journalism degree.
He leaned back in his chair and crossed his hands over his middle. Kimber's scalp tingled. Did she just hear what she thought she heard?
"Wait, sir, are you saying you would like me to interview Mr. Kappa?"
He spread his beefy hands.
"Is there anyone else in the room?"
"No, sir."
"You're young. Pell is young. I can't send Betty White over there to tackle something like this. I need a young person's brain. You know, someone relatable. Pell is eccentric, thinks a lot of himself. Entitled, lazy. You're from the same generation. You'll fit right in."
Ouch. She wanted to remind Jim that she was 28 and Pell was 39. They weren't anything alike, but at least now she knew what her boss thought of her. She was one of the very few people working in this office who didn't have a PhD in some science-related field. Most of her coworkers had yet to warm up with her. Certainly none of them respected her. And how could they if the resounding consensus around here was that she was eccentric, self-important, and entitled? Everyone knew she was Buddy McLeady's daughter. He'd made a name for himself and garnered major national attention for his claims of repeated alien abduction. That alone put a black mark on her back. Putting on a smile to hide the sting, Kimber readjusted her bag on her lap. "I'll do my absolute best to be an upstanding member of my generation, sir."
"This is important, Kimber. I'm going way out on a very thin, osteoporotic limb by giving you this assignment."
She nodded, knuckles white with how hard she gripped her bag. This interview was more than just very important. Her 5-year plan was to build enough of a portfolio that she could ditch this low-paying gig where she used that spendy journalism degree to fetch her boss coffee and proofread other people's work and get a foot in at American Geo. The big dream? A consistent string of overseas assignments with her own team. She wanted to erase the stain of her past and the ridicule she'd grown up with. Being known as the alien dude's daughter had done little for her social life, then or now. She needed to nail this assignment. It was a big step in the right direction.
I understand, and I thank you for the opportunity. When is the interview?
Next week. I'll email you the itinerary. There's a list of pre-written questions in the file for you to consider. Pull what you like or create your own. I want to approve the final list before you go. Is your passport current?
Passport? Her heart gave a little flip. The last article she'd read on Pell showed he had a house in Sacramento, California.
Yes? Where is the... Dingle. Dingle, Ireland. Say it a few times. Dingle. Ding-ding-dingle. Funny name for a town. Sounds like the punchline of a dirty joke, doesn't it? Have you heard of it? Pell's got a vacation house there, so off you go.
Kimber's lips parted. He was sending her to Dingle, Ireland. Of course she'd heard of it. The small seaside town had gained notoriety in the last year because of...
You've been here, what, 6 months?
He burst forward in his chair, making the thin end of his ponytail flop. 3 years, sir.
Right. Human resources said you haven't used a single vacation day since you started, and they don't want to continue paying you for all that rollover. Why not take a few extra days in Dingle after the interview, on your own dime, and enjoy yourself?
A high-profile interview and a vacation? Had she fallen through a time-space rift and ended up in an alternate universe where things went her way?
Sure. That's a great idea.
Good.
Jim stood up and gestured to his door in clear dismissal. Though his demeanor seemed more relaxed, the furrow between his caterpillar brows was ever present. She felt like her insides were soaring. Was this happening? She was just about to the door when his voice called her back.
What are my 3 rules for excellent reporting, Kimber?
Right, the 3 rules. Number 1, no fluff. Number 2, no bullshit. And number 3, no extraterrestrials.
That's right. Don't forget it, no matter what Pell tries to tell you.
I'll remember that, sir. Incidentally, did you know Dingle has gained recent popularity because of multiple...
He's going to sway you to mention his UFO research. Don't let him. Don't let him influence you with his nonsense, Kimber. Homeless shelter. Remember that if you feel tempted. Homeless shelter.
His office door slammed. UFO sightings? She trailed off, before hugging her things to her chest and darting to her cubicle. Dumping everything into the corner of her desk, Kimber opened her laptop and signed on. Wonderful stuff like this just didn't happen to her. What a strange coincidence that she was traveling to Dingle after researching it for months.
Hey, what happened in there?
Dana swung into the cubicle with one hand on the divider frame and a concerned, tell-me-everything expression. Kimber tried and failed to control the huge smile on her face.
I'm going to Ireland.
Dana raised a shocked brow.
Ireland? What the hell did you do to Jim to get that assignment?
Kimber recoiled with a grimace. Ew, no. Dana shivered in disgust.
Sorry.
Yes, ew.
Hey, it's about damn time. You've earned this. Don't get into any trouble over there.
Turning back to her computer, she scrolled through a couple pages of Pell Kappa's most recent escapades, which mostly included images of him with random women at various events he donated to in his father's name. He was handsome enough. A little crazy-eyed, honestly. He had that intense look about him, like you'd never know what he might do or say next. Boring of the socialite images, she scrolled to the next page, skimming recent news from the Dingle Herald about strange lights and disc-like objects reported coming out of the ocean and shooting into the sky. Her body thrummed with excitement. She was well-versed in the reported alien activity because she'd been following Pell Kappa's extraterrestrial research for months. He'd used Daddy's money to start a novice alien investigative media company, including a website, video channel, and rudimentary magazine.
He'd been posting online videos and articles about their research for months online with the Dingle sightings. She wanted to believe the sightings were bullshit. After what her father had put her through, the media attention, the ridicule, the never-disappearing internet videos, the threats, she'd vowed to put it all behind her. As much as she hated her past, she had a dirty secret, one that she couldn't make complete sense of. She was slightly obsessed with UFOs. Her home office contained books, papers, and reports of UFO sightings and first-hand experiences she hoped would help make sense of her father's claims. Real or not, what he claimed to have experienced traumatized him and changed him from a hard-working single father to a man who became obsessed with trying to convince the world that alien abductions were real. He'd wasted away until he became nursing home-bound at 60 and died 2 years later. She'd wrestled with having something to prove since she was 12 years old. Aliens, real or not? The answer wasn't black and white, especially since she'd had an experience of her own she couldn't fully explain. Her brain had digested it enough to find a plausible rationale, but it never made complete sense. Either she'd experienced what she thought she had, or she was just as crazy as her father had been. Either option was terrifying. Closing her computer, she ran a hand over her mouth. She had to stay focused on this trip, this business trip. She had to follow rule number 3, no matter how tempted she might be to poke around. No extraterrestrials. Her job depended on it. Chapter 2. Kimber. You're not there to look for aliens. Kimber adjusted the cell phone against her ear with one hand and hauled the strap of her oversized duffel bag onto her shoulder. No aliens, Dana. I know. This is serious, Kimber. You've got one shot at this. Can you imagine the various shades of red Jim's face will turn if you bring him some UFO story? He'll fire you the moment the paramedics are done reviving him. Kimber glanced around for the bus stop. No UFO stories, I promise. It's UFO. I'm aware, but saying UFO drives the English major in you insane. Gotta go. Kimber, love you, bye. Ending the call, Kimber drew in a full breath of chilly morning air. The flight had been smooth, but her stomach had protested regardless. If she hadn't been worried about being an overly dramatic American, she would have kissed the Irish soil when they landed. Her chest swelled with the thrill of being somewhere new, somewhere international. Muted fractures of gold colored the early morning sky. A slight breeze washed over her face with the damp heaviness of impending rain. A small group had moved to the bus station sign and pulled up the hoods of their jackets to wait. Joining them, she boosted the strap of her duffel bag over her shoulder and gripped her suitcase handle with both hands. Conversations flowed around her in a variety of accents and languages. People watching was a favorite pastime. She liked to guess where others were going, what kind of person they were, what they'd done earlier that day. Thinking about others' lives helped keep her mind off her own. And it helped hone her reporter's instincts, which currently said the strange little man coming toward her had an agenda. Marnin. He walked bow-legged like a cowboy that'd been on a horse too long. A faded t-shirt and droopy old jeans mixed well with the grease stains she guessed were permanent on his rugged fingers. He thrust a thin sheet of paper at her. Going to Dingle, are ya? She accepted the paper with a smile. It was a flyer advertising electric bikes for rent. Yes? His rosy cheeks cracked with deep lines when he smiled. Well, good then. Get yourself one of these and tour the town. No gas required. Have a meal, get a drink, see the lights on the back of your e-bike. Catchy. His wit was cute, but he smelled of old oil and fried fish. The scent resurrected the nausea, and her stomach churned. Pushing through it, she caught his eyes. "Do you mean the lights over the ocean that everyone is talking about? Are there any others worth talking about?" He winked. "Have you seen them yourself?" Urgent curiosity got the better of her. He raised his brows and gave a cursory bump of his head in confirmation. Her heart flipped. "What do you think they are?" His smile faltered, his face growing serious, as if he had a secret. "Maybe the fairies are expanding their reach. You never know." "You believe in fairies?" He drew back, his expression falling.
"You don't touch foot to Irish soil and ask a question like that. Good day to you."
Pulling a stack of flyers from his pocket, he moved to the next person in the group and all but shoved one in the man's hand before storming off with a mumble. What was she doing, worrying about the lights? Frustrated with herself, she pulled out her phone just as the bus appeared with Dingle flashing across the ticker. Boarding, she found a seat and tucked against the window to glimpse the scenery while reviewing the interview questions she'd use at her meeting with Pel Kappa tomorrow. Jim had approved the list she'd created, and she was confident in her ability to facilitate a great interview. So why were nerves creeping in? Flicking the screen to another page, she pulled her lower lip between her teeth as she scanned the information she'd saved on the Dingle lights. Despite the constant reports of sightings, no one had narrowed down or confirmed what was causing them. Multiple UFO groups had scoured the town looking for answers, but either the locals didn't have them or they weren't willing to share what they knew. Unless you wanted to pay for it. Many touristy attractions had cropped up centered on the phenomenon. Boat rides to the spots where orbs reportedly burst from the depths and shot into the sky. Telescope viewing stations. Merchandise. New shops and pubs had opened in the peninsula to accommodate the influx of tourists coming to see the lights for themselves. Flipping back to the interview profile, she lost herself in mental preparations for the upcoming meeting until the bus slowed and came to a stop. The surrounding buildings were cheery, with red, blue, green, and gray paint and whitewashed window trim, top hat-style roofs, and potted plants hanging beside the front doors. Stepping off the bus, she paused a moment to take in the sound of waves calling from the distance and the chirps of seagulls and other birds filling the air. Entering the name of her hotel into the Maps app on her phone, she strolled the 8 blocks through the charming town and checked into her room. She'd just slid the key into the lock on her room door when her phone rang. It was an international number. Momentarily confused, she almost ignored it as a spam call, but then recalled Jim had given Pel Kappa her phone number.
"Ms. McLeady, Pel Kappa calling to welcome you to Dingle."
Pressing the phone between her ear and shoulder, she struggled with the lock. "Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'll meet you at Dougal's for a drink. 7 p.m. I know that's early, but I'm squeezing you in."
The door finally opened with a pop, and she burst inside, her bag flinging forward on her shoulder and nearly causing her to topple over.
Well, the interview isn't until tomorrow, Mr. Kappa."
"Correct. I like to check out my reporters before I waste my time. I always determine compatibility over a drink." 7 o'clock. I'll send a driver."
"7? That was in 45 minutes.
"That won't be necessary. I can..."
The line went dead. Slipping the strap of her heavy bag off her arm, Kimber plopped it onto the bed while processing her immediate first impression of Pell. Arrogant. Self-centered. Difficult. Great. Dressing in dark jeans, a pale yellow blouse, and tall black boots, she twisted her long dark brown hair into a professional bun at the nape, then added small gold studs to her ears and a delicate matching necklace. Casual, yet professional. Grabbing a handheld recorder, in case Pell wanted to start the interview early, she collected her notebook and some other essentials to put in her portfolio. The phone in her room rang, a curt woman telling her a car had arrived for her. The shiny black Lexus waiting at the curb and cheery driver that opened the door made her sour first impression of Pell a little more tolerable. No one had ever sent a car for her before. Dougal's pub had a bright green exterior with blazing white window trim, an aging metal roof, and a cast iron sign over the door with the establishment's name painted in blue. The driver let her out, bid her a good evening, and said he'd wait until she was ready to return to her hotel. He waved off her attempt to dissuade him.
"Mr. Kappa's orders, ma'am."
Thanking him, she stepped up the cobblestone walk to the front entrance, where, funnily, a handful of electric bikes sat. Jaunty strains of music filtered from the closed door, mixed with enough loud voices to suggest something big was happening inside. A voice sounded behind her.
"Allow me, miss." The man reached politely around her to open the door. Thanking him, Kimber did a double take. He had a plain face, so nondescript that she thought he was wearing some sort of mask. But when she looked again, she realized his features looked normal. More human. Aware that she was staring, Kimber moved past him and stepped in.
"What's the occasion inside? Sounds like quite a party." The man paused.
"It's a Thursday."
"Is it a special day, or?"
"No, it's just a Thursday."
Her attention turned to the massive crowd inside.
"Wow, this is a lot of people for the middle of the week."
Glancing at the man over her shoulder, she did a double take to find him gone. How would she ever find Pell in this madness? Kimber moved through the mass of bodies and pulled out her phone. He hadn't texted where to meet him inside, and there was no way she was finding a table. Glancing up, she spied an empty stool at the bar and hurried to it. The female bartender watched her with an annoyed sort of amusement as Kimber slid onto the stool like she was stealing second base. Kimber grinned at the bartender.
"That was luck, finding a seat in a crowd like this."
"Oh yeah, that was real luck of the Irish there, lass."
She sounded bored.
"Tourist, eh? Let me guess, you're dying to try the alien ale. Or a double shot of extraterrestrial espresso. Maybe the abduction apple hard cider."
The woman said the word in monotone, as if she repeated those same words day in and day out. It took a moment for Kimber's brain to sort through the woman's pronounced Irish accent.
"Yes, I'm a tourist. Sort of. And no drink for me, thanks."
"Right. You look like a fancy bottled water type."
The bartender was mid-30s, broad shoulders, sturdy build, and glossy black hair. She wore a consistent resting bitch face, probably born out of necessity after many years in this bar. Her name tag said Belinda. Kimber learned early on how to handle abrupt people and never shied from the chance to win someone over.
"Belinda, I'm Kimber McCleady."
She offered a hand that wasn't accepted.
"I'm meeting someone. Do you know Pell Kappa?"
The woman scoffed.
"Who doesn't? He brings women in here all the time. Sits by the window that overlooks the peninsula. But he ain't here.
Sorry, sweetheart.
He's probably tied up. Literally. With someone who only plays librarian in the bedroom."
Belinda waved a hand in a circular motion at Kimber.
"You're in a pub. What's with the bun and grandma jewelry?"
Kimber touched the necklace. "I'm here on business."
Belinda scoffed again and rolled her eyes. Something warm touched the center of Kimber's back. Little goosebumps lit on her skin. The length of her spine heated, and warmth spread to her toes. The scent of masculine shampoo filled her nose as someone angled beside her and came into view. She glanced into azure eyes and a strong, handsome face. Thick, white blonde hair fell in waves over a wide forehead, a square jaw dusted with golden stubble. He smiled brilliantly. Her breath caught, just like in the movies. stuck right in the bottom of her throat as her heart raced wildly. He gestured to her hair and leaned easily.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?